Hello everyone, and for any of you who don't know me, my name's David and I'm part of the ministry team here at DPC. We're into our next part of our series on the art of rest. And so far we've looked at why rest matters. And we've looked at Genesis to see that rest matters because God rests and He's created and designed us to rest. And today we'll look at the next part of the series and discover where true rest is found. We'll be seeing what Jesus has to say in Matthew's Gospel. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, a lot of us find it difficult to rest. We find all sorts of excuses not to, which seems strange, as you would think we desire rest. Father, as we look at this part of Matthew's Gospel today, help us to see where true rest comes from. Amen. How many of you have heard the phrase, to justify your own existence? Whenever I hear this phrase these days, I think of safety managers who make up all these rules and regulations, but never leave their nice air-conditioned offices to see if what they come up with is even practical. They appear to make all these extra layers of safety and safety slogans to justify their own existence. Now, I'm sure if there are any safety managers here that you wouldn't do that. You'd actually go out and see what works and what doesn't. But when you think about it, that's often what we do. Try and justify our own existence. When we're kids, we try to get good grades. As adults, working hard and trying to earn more. Being good at sport or playing an instrument. These are some of the things we do to justify our existence. Not just to ourselves, but to all those around us as well. We have to prove we're worth something. And this can be tiring as it's never ending. We're at it all the time. I need to lose weight so I look better. My grades weren't good enough. I better study harder. Do people like me? What should I change? Am I a good person? Can I do more? Is God happy with me? Should I try harder? This doesn't sound much like rest, does it? It sounds very stressful and like something that would really wear you down. Trying to prove ourselves to others and to God. Trying to justify our existence. Struggling to find meaningful rest. Finding ourselves burdened and burnt out, trying to make our lives mean something. What does this mean? Well, today we're going to look at two options for justifying our existence and see what Jesus says about how we find rest from our striving, for approval and those other things that get in the way of rest. Now, option one is religion, and option two is Jesus. Let's look at option one, religion. If we have a look at the verses from today's reading, we can see there are two examples that Matthew uses. Kids, listen here because it'll give you an idea of what to draw. Now, the first one is in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick at some of the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath." Here the Pharisees, who Adam Mabry, in his book The Art of Rest, calls the Jewish religious ninjas, have pulled up Jesus and his disciples for walking through the paddock and picking heads off grain on the Sabbath. A day according to the Old Testament law was to be a day of rest. I just get this mental picture of these guys throwing around laws instead of little ninja star knives. By this time, these guys had come up with 39 rules around the practice of resting. That's 39 ways of correctly doing nothing. And here's Jesus and his disciples farming on the Sabbath. The Pharisees think that by keeping all these rules and regulations, they'll be in the good books with God. And they'll look down on anybody who doesn't keep these rules. Now, Jesus knows his Old Testament law well, as he's a good Jew. And he's God, so he made them. Jesus hits back firstly in verses 3 and 4. He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests." David's on the run from Saul, and his men are hungry. David goes to the temple and asks the priest to give him the consecrated bread so he can feed his men. Now, this may have been against the rules, but God doesn't hold it against him, because he was doing something good for his men. He was keeping them alive. Then secondly, Jesus brings up that the priests work on the Sabbath in verse 5. "Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent?" These guys are working on the Sabbath, but once again, they're doing something good. They are helping other people love God. And thirdly, he hits them with God's way is about mercy and taking care of people, not legalism. In verse 7, he says, "If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." Jesus tells the Pharisees that because they are so obsessed with the rules of religion, and through keeping them, how good they have completely lost the idea of loving people. Now, the second example of how people try to justify themselves through religion is when Jesus goes on from this to the synagogue. Now, kids, listen here to this next bit as I describe what you're going to draw. Here he meets a man with a shriveled hand. Now, the Pharisees are hoping to trip Jesus up legalistically. They want to prove that they know the law better than Jesus. In verse 10, they ask Jesus, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered back in verse 11 and 12. He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Jesus is saying it's legal to do good on the Sabbath. And he goes on to heal the man. The Pharisees look bad and plot to kill Jesus. These guys are obsessed with trying to prove themselves to God through law, through religion. They try to justify themselves by showing God that they're always doing the right thing. By working hard, that they lose sight of what's really important. Religion can be exhausting. Things we do to try and prove ourselves to God. Obey the rules and hope God likes us more. serve in church so God will be impressed. But it's not just religion. There's all the other stuff that we do to prove ourselves to others. Things like what we study, what we wear, what we do for a living, how big a fish you caught. There are lots of things people do to make themselves feel worthwhile. And this takes a lot of work and could cause a lot of stress and anxiety. The religion option is one way to try and justify your existence, but it doesn't work. It leaves you tired and scared. Tired because of all the work you have to do, and scared because you never know if you've done enough to satisfy God. Of course, there is another option, and that brings us to option two, Jesus. All those things I've listed, and of course many more, won't let God be satisfied with you. That can only come through Jesus. Now go to the back page, kids, and see if you can follow this. Jesus tells us how to make that happen in chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Pharisees wanted to burden the people with laws. Jesus wants to take that burden on himself and give us rest. Jesus wants us to submit to him. He wants us to take his yoke. Now, a yoke is what they used to put on oxen when they were pulling a plough, and it would keep them together and help the farmer control them. Now, it sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you let me be your master, I won't put a heavy burden on you. You won't have to do things to impress God. What burdens does Jesus lift from you? He takes the burden of sin off you. He takes the burden of trying to be perfect. He takes on the burden of the cross. Jesus justifies your existence. Jesus says you are worth dying for. If you allow Jesus to be your master, if you say yes to Jesus, God will be satisfied with you. He will see Jesus has taken on your sin. And if you say yes to Jesus, he will give you true rest. Rest from fear and stress and of trying to impress God. Say yes to Jesus so you can spend the rest of your life in rest, even when you're working. A great example is Eric Little. Who remembers the movie Chariots of Fire? Set around the 1924 Olympic Games, it follows the course of two men who were runners, Eric Little and Harold Abrahams. Two very good examples of what we've been talking about. Harold Abrahams' famous line is, I have 10 seconds to justify myself. 10 lonely seconds. What a burden. The only way to prove himself was to win the Olympic 100-meter sprint. On the other hand, Eric Little's comment was, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. He enjoyed every race. Every race was worship to him, and the result didn't matter. Now, Eric seemed to find God's rest in everything he did, right up until his death in 1945 in a Japanese internment camp in China, where he was a missionary. The reason he was able to do this was because he had Jesus in his life, and he let Jesus give him rest. For those of us who follow Jesus, rest isn't a sign of weakness. It's a deliberate act of resistance against the desire to justify ourselves. An act of trust in Jesus' justification on our behalf. Through Jesus, we are on the receiving end of God's gifts, not the earning end. Only through Jesus can we find true rest. What do we need to say no to so we can say yes to Jesus? Well, firstly, no to that desire to keep working without taking a rest. We need to embrace our leisure. If you're anxious from working too hard, you're no fun. Relax on your days off. Have a laugh. Enjoy yourself. Rest is meant to remind us that we are on the receiving end of God's gifts. That we're justified by Jesus and not by what we do. Now, this is an incredible peace and life-giving gift when we remember it. Secondly, say no to resting only when the opportunity is there. If you insist on only resting when you feel like it, you're trying to be in control again. Submit yourself to regular patterns of rest. Give up the desire to control when you rest. Thirdly, say no to working at home during your times of rest. Do some non-work. That's it. Go and get a hobby. I like to get out in the garden and do stuff on my days off. Or fix things around the house. I try to do anything that's not electrical. It's restful because it's not what I do for a living. And fourthly, saying no to irregular worship. Rest is an act of resistance against our idols. When we stop and rest, we fight against those idols we use to justify our own existence. How often do you open your Bibles on your day off? The art of rest is learning how to rest with Jesus, not from him. When we work, it's for one of two purposes: to glorify God or to justify ourselves. And the same is true for rest. Who will you be like? Harold Abrahams, who had 10 lonely seconds to justify his life? Or will you be like Eric Little, whose race was worship and the result was not important? His work and his rest could be peaceful. We'll never find rest through trying to justify ourselves and our own existence. We find true rest in Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of our rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we seem to spend a lot of time trying to justify ourselves to other people and to you by doing things. It causes us stress and anxiety and is definitely not restful. Father, you designed us for rest, and through Jesus, you gave us the way to find true rest. Father, we pray that you will help us find our true rest in Jesus. Amen.